Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm one of your hosts, Bethany Gilbert. And today we're going back into the archives to an episode that aired in August of 2016 called Social Media and Expressive Individualism. 2016 seems like a long time ago, and social media and technology change on the regular, but this episode still holds up. So we thought it would be a great idea to revisit it. So that's what we're doing today. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastors Bob Thune and Dusty White of Corumdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about social media and expressive individualism.
Hey, before we get into that, I like doing this podcast with you guys. This is fun.
Chris and I are back.
We're back in action.
Yes.
We are flying solo for a while.
Rested and ready to go.
Not solo, but duo.
Thanks to all the people who listen and enjoy and appreciate.
It's good to know when I'm gone, the quality of conversation
goes
still
down.
Still pretty good.
Still decent.
And Dusty, you did a good job with the intros.
Hey, thanks.
I just wanted to publicly acknowledge you.
I did my best, but I can't quite hit the voice inflection where you do. So
I could do it in my sleep.
Yeah.
Listen, the topic today is social media, and here's what we want to do. We want to ask this question: how does or how should discipleship to Jesus change the way that we engage social media? We live in a world that is awash in social media. It's not going away. Like any cultural product, social media is a neutral thing in and of itself, meaning it can be used for good, it can be used for evil, it can be used in ways that glorify God or ways that glorify self. And so we don't want to be the kind of people who say, well, social media is bad. We want to ask the question, given a world in which social media is part of sort of the fabric of our lives, how do we engage it and use it in a way that reflects discipleship to Jesus? Or how should discipleship to Jesus change or modify the way that we use and engage social media? There's probably lots of little nuances or bunny trails in this conversation. But Mike, you gave the title as Social Media and Expressive Individualism. That last piece, expressive individualism, is a phrase I stole from sociology to describe what many people would the spirit that many people would describe our age with, meaning we live in a culture of expressive individualism. Anything with ism on the end, of course, is sort of a worldview or a way of thinking. So individualism would describe, especially in Western culture, the sense that I am at the center of the universe, that the individual is prioritized over the community. And then the idea of expressive individualism is this idea that what I think, what I feel, what I'm experiencing, what I'm doing, what I ate for dinner, what I thought about today, what I read lately, that all these things need to be expressed. And I think you could just, if you just ask, what is social media mostly about? A lot of it is about expressive individualism. Now, there's beauty in that because it helps us know and experience what people are experiencing. There's also great danger in that because we get swept up in a culture that very much tells us that what we think, what we feel, what we're experiencing is so important to reality. And part of what the Bible tells us is that much of what we think, what we feel, what we experience is tainted by sin and therefore isn't actually in line with reality. So where the Bible would teach us to be critical of individualism and of our expression of ourselves, the culture sort of doesn't have any of that critical component. And so sort of we're just surrounded with voices and people talking and chattering. And so it can be especially as you're leading yourself or if you're trying to raise kids, it can be challenging to think about how does discipleship to Jesus affect our engagement in social media. Maybe a place to start the conversation is just to think about what media is and how it changes the nature of human relationship. So guys, the four of us are sitting around a square table right now, and in a sense, our conversation right now is unmediated, meaning we can see each other's facial expressions. We're right here in the room together. We're all present. And so the only media we're using is, you know, the airwaves, our vocal cords, and our eardrums to sort of converse with one another. But we're also recording this conversation, and by the time these listeners hear it, it's mediated, meaning it's being sent out through a medium so that other people can listen in on this conversation. So the interesting thing to think about how God made us is God made us primarily to experience unmediated human relationship, meaning person-to-person relationship. The world we live in increasingly is a mediated world where we have the appearance or the impression of relationship without the presence and the physicality and the embodiedness of relationship. And so one of the dangers, I think, with social media is just that, that it lets us put forward a version of ourselves or a version of our thoughts that's mediated. In other words, rarely are you typing on Facebook or putting on Twitter unfiltered versions of what you're thinking or experiencing. You're usually thinking through, gosh, how would I say this if I was going to say it? Or what do I want to put out there? Mm-hmm. What would I post? And so there's this sense that those pieces of you that people experience online are not you, but they are reflective of you. They're mm-hmm. a mediated version of you. And so social media itself raises the interesting question of what version of ourselves are we putting forward? What if people only knew us from sort of our online presence, if they only interact with us in social media, so think of an acquaintance or someone who follows you on whatever platform, what do they know of you? How much of you are they getting? What of you do they have access to? And how might their vision of you change if they spent a day with you, mm-hmm. if they came over to your house and hung out in the evening? What would that show of you that's not shown in sort of the mediated version of you?
Yeah, what's the unfiltered version of who I am versus the version that I keep projecting out there, that I've decided to project out there,
right,
as well?
And so the first question I think for Christians to ask would just be, if you just reflect on your social media use and you ask that question, what version of myself am I putting out there? Maybe it's a true and accurate version of you, but it'd be interesting to, if you look back over the last few months of your social media interaction, just say, what have people tasted of me or seen of me through social media? And what does that reveal about the parts of me that I really want to be public and the parts of me that I don't want to be so public? About the opinions I have that I'm comfortable having publicly and the opinions I have that aren't so public. Mm-hmm. About the responses to other people that I'm okay putting out there publicly versus the responses I have in my head of, what a dumb statement, but I'm not going to say that on Facebook because yeah, that'd be rude.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about this, we recently moved and it was crazy, right? So there's 8 of us and a dog and we recently moved and it takes a long time to get settled and recover from a major, takes a long time to recover from a move like across a state, but just a few blocks has also been interesting for us. And the way we moved was very like, just get it done. But in the meantime, we've been having people come into our house, babysitters, friends, family, and it's chaos, right? It's not like how we usually live because we like to have things vacuumed. The lines are in the carpet, you know, things are put away. It hasn't been the case. It's actually been very humbling for us recently, which has got me thinking even about this podcast. You know, this is actually who we actually are right now. And so this is who you're getting. So it's interesting to think about this in light of social media. Am I putting out there who I actually am?
So this conversation got me thinking about the, I think, fairly well-known media ecologist from several decades back, Marshall McLuhan, and he had this great statement, the medium is the message, that essentially the medium of the content, so how that content is delivered, so whether it's social media or film or music or a painting, that particular medium in and of itself communicates a message. So with social media, what I'm wondering here is the delivery of social media, the Twitter 140 characters or Facebook with pictures and a message or Instagram, do those particular mediums, so social media as a medium, begin to shape us in how we communicate and how we present ourselves? So if I'm communicating through Twitter, obviously I have to be pithy and keep things short. But does that start to shape how I communicate with people, how I start to think through issues? And this is the big knock on Twitter, right? You can't really have a thoughtful debate or thoughtful interaction with 140 characters. So what I'm thinking through is, does social media have a drift for us? If the medium is the message, if we're going to engage in social media, like you said, Bob, in a thoughtful way, are we always going to have to counteract a certain drift that social media is going to pull us into? So in some sense, while it is neutral, it does have a particular weight that we have to be careful of, because otherwise we're going to start to engage in particularly unhelpful ways.
It has a formative effect.
Yes.
There's a formational component. Yes, for sure. I'm just geeking out that you know Marshall McLuhan. As an undergraduate communication major, I appreciate who's going to quote some McLuhan.
The time in English. All the time quoting him in English.
Let's just go back to the reality that we would agree that all of life is to be lived to the glory of God, right? So in light of that, I think it's interesting to reflect on, am I putting out an alternative life, or am I using social media as a platform to bring more glory to God in my life?
Yeah, and that's the essential question of this podcast.
And am I doing that or not?
How does discipleship to Jesus change how I use social media? And the simple answer is, I ought to be using social media as a means of glorifying God. Now, there's a lot of ways that can look. It doesn't have to look like I tweet Bible verses all day. But if I'm not asking the question, and this is my thought, is that I don't think many people are asking the question, how does my use of social media, my engagement with social media, glorify God or glorify me?
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, expressive individualism, we're just awash in this world that says, man, whatever you think right now is really important. And so, man, most of the time when I interact on social media, I'm just like, I don't actually care what movie you just watched. I don't care about this book you just read. I don't care about the restaurant. You're like, I'm just like, I mean, interesting, neat, but there's not, you're not sharing anything meaningful with me. It's just sort of
noise.
It's sort of background noise about what everybody else around me is doing. And I think what it can fuel is comparison, critique. It puts forward sort of a false vision of community. That's like, oh, I know where Chris and Mindy were on vacation last week. And so that's sort of like but if I didn't actually communicate with them about that at all, and I just sort of know that because I sort of saw it on social media, mm-hmm. it's not the same as like, man, I actually engage with them conversationally about, hey, how was your vacation? You know? Mm-hmm. So it gives this ethereal idea of knowledge without the presence piece. And that mm-hmm. can, I think, be dangerous sometimes.
And the other thing that occurred to me too, is I wonder how much of what we share on social media, are these the kinds of things that we're, like, would we share that quote when we're with somebody? Would we make that statement when we're with someone?
I just always read quotes from books I'm reading, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. Do you share that?
I think, Chris, you probably would, like, drop quotes on me. But
well, because if that's not the case, how much deeper does this go then that we're the self we're presenting on social media potentially could be completely disconnected from who we are in unmediated relationships? And this is just, I'm thinking this right now, like I'm thinking going through my Twitter feed, does anything that I post have anything to do with what I'm actually conversing with people in my real life with? Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Good question.
If we were to ask this question, let's try to get down to brass tacks, guys. Mm-hmm. If we were to say, what would some redemptive uses of social media look like? What are some God-honoring ways we can use social media? I remember when John Piper first came on Twitter, he wrote like a whole blog post about like why I'm tweeting. It was sort of like, for the glory of God, I'm on Twitter, you know? And I was like, well, I appreciate that. He's thinking through the question of like, there's a why behind why I would engage this as a Christian. And so let me think that out. So I sort of want us to ask the same question of, okay, what are some redemptive uses, some God-honoring uses of social media? I appreciate, Dusty, on Instagram, you post a lot of family photos, and I feel like that probably is the lines in the carpet, vacuum lines in the carpet version of your household.
Totally.
However, I do appreciate that what it does, it puts forward a certain narrative of family that says, man, we enjoy our family. And I think that's a redemptive way of doing it. I think to the extent that helps cast a vision of what a Christian family looks like, that can be really beautiful and good. So I would see that as a possible redemptive use of social media, as long as you post like, you know, not so pretty stuff every once in a while.
Well, so what's interesting about that is that also runs the line of what's actually in my heart for idolatry as well, right? So like, as much as I want to post that and really live that out before our church and before my family until I'm on my deathbed, and I feel like that's what God has called me to. There's also that line of, you know, this actually being the idol that the Lord wants to constantly do work in me. So if I'm projecting that this is my real life all the time, and you don't see the dirty dishes, in my post that all these kids create, right? Like, it's not as glorious as it looks.
Yes.
But it can be glorifying to the Lord.
Yeah.
But wouldn't posting a picture of all your dirty dishes say, hey, look at the mess that I live in? Like, can't that do equally the same thing?
Yes.
Social media, I have a love-hate relationship with social media because it seems so narcissistic.
That's why I unfollowed you just now.
Even if you're posting a quote from a book that you just read, it seems it has that narcissistic feel, like, oh, I'm reading right now, and I felt like it was important enough to tweet about it. I don't know.
That's a fair point.
So yeah, I think it's good to that point. I think it's good to start thinking about social media through the lens of, is this actually helpful to other people?
Ooh.
Like, so if I post,
everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial.
That's so if I share this quote, is it because I need people to know I'm reading this book right now at 10:30 at night and I'm a nerd and you're not? Or no, I actually think by sharing this, this is going to help you think more godly about something that you probably aren't going to unless I do share it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What's caused me to think about that, even that way of thinking, is the ways social media platforms like Facebook and even Twitter and Instagram, the way they write the programs, you're not going to see everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to see what you post, but I can make a setting. So I want to see Dusty's tweets just so I can banter with him back and forth. He says something sarcastic that I want to respond to. Yeah. Right. But like, it's not guaranteed that anybody's going to see that. They actually say for people to see your tweet, you got to post it 7 times.
That's crazy. That's why Bob's always posting stuff.
That's right.
So even I don't know. Like I said, I have a love-hate relationship with it because I love it because it's
mediated, and it's mediated by a company that's in it to make money, and that has a certain algorithm that they want to use to cause you to engage, right? So there's somebody with a that's the thing. The platform, there's a stake in the game for the people that drive the platform.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I remember when texting was big, and like you could get like a decent text plan. You weren't charged 10 cents every text that you would send. And I would text my girlfriend, fiance at the time, now who's now my wife.
Yeah, because you've been like dating her since you were like 8 or something, right?
Cell phones weren't popular when we first met.
When I was a kid.
But I remember being in person with her, and it was hard to hold a conversation because we had texted so much throughout the day. And so I feel like social
media.
That's
about to be a whole other podcast,
right?
After this.
Yeah. I feel like social media and even Instagram, where you know Chris is on vacation somewhere.
Even though I haven't talked to him,
it's like just that knowledge means like, oh, I'm probably not going to ask Chris what he's been up to, because in my mind, I already know.
Hey, in my defense, I wasn't on Twitter for 2 weeks when I was on vacation, so you didn't know I was on vacation.
True. That's unfair. I knew that from conversation with you. That's
yes,
how I knew.
Yes. So I think kind of going back to this question of how to use social media well as a disciple, I think it starts really with an awareness of both its limitations, this idea of mediated, unmediated relationship, and not blur the line. I think if we have a healthy understanding of its limitations, of potentially the way it could form us, and as we're engaging it, as we're using it, doing so in a thoughtful and sort of in the know, I think that's a helpful first step. Because kind of back to your point, Dusty, if I'm aware of perhaps the idolatry in certain pictures that I'm going to post or a certain side of my life I want people to see, if I'm aware of that, then I can go, okay, how do I want people to experience me, quotation marks, in social media? And if it's drifting one way, then maybe I need to sort of start to share other pieces that's helpful again. And so asking these questions. And so are you doing so thoughtfully, or are you just sort of allowing it to shape you unaware and you just kind of fall into this drift?
I also think we need to ask the question. I mean, the benefit, the good of social media is this: everybody's a communicator. Like, we're all communicating something. Mm-hmm. And so social media does give us an outlet, an avenue to say, okay, I can communicate things about God, about the gospel, whether it's Bible verses, thoughts, theological quotes. I, I try to put a lot of that stuff out there as a way of, because that stuff gets to people that I wouldn't talk to normally, right? Mm-hmm. So there is a sense in which the influence I have goes broader, even though it's a different kind of influence. It's not a personal influence, but it can affect people and start conversations with people, and sometimes that's helpful and sometimes it's unhelpful. So I do think that there's a good in the sort of reach that it gives me into people's lives that I honestly just wouldn't keep up with otherwise. Right. That's one of the benefits, I think, and blessings of it. One of the downsides of that is it can create anxieties and fears and concerns that I don't actually need to have. This is one of the conversations my wife and I have often is,
right.
I ignore things much more easily than her, including most of your emails that you guys send me. But she can't do that as easily. And so like she'll be real concerned because she read on Facebook about some person that we never interact with and something that happened in their life.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hey, you're carrying that burden. And that's beautiful about you. But like we never talk to that person. Like there's
right.
Our lives have no overlap. You wouldn't even know that happened apart from Facebook. And so that doesn't mean we don't care and pray for that person, but it does mean you're kind of bearing this right now in a way that I don't know is actually significant to the relationship that we actually have with that person.
And do I have the bandwidth
right.
to carry that? The answer is no, right? So this would go back to like even Zach Eswine and his writings, right? Like you only have the bandwidth to deal with whatever's locally in front of you. And that's how God wired you, and that's how you should care about life. So it's interesting to think through that. And all the things we take on, all the noise that we're just taking on that does no benefit.
Another thought that I had too, this is based off of a blog post I was reading today. A pastor was coming off sabbatical and just sort of reflecting on what he learned about himself. And one of the things that he stated is he came to recognize in his social media habits, especially with Twitter, is that he was becoming more press secretary than priest. And so what he said is he felt this pressure that he had to comment on everything in sort of this public way, rather than emphasizing presence with people, listening, being patient, going slow, prayer, that stuff that Eswine talks mm-hmm. about, or what it means to actually have a unmediated relationship. And that was very provoking to me too, because as a pastor, sometimes I can get angsty about, hey, should I comment on certain things related to culture or what's going on within the world of the church for the benefit of people in some ways? Because I know my voice for some has a level of influence and I want to be thoughtful. I mean, not everything that I tweet is helpful, but I will admit that. But
finally, thank you.
You've been wanting to tell me that for a while. Not helpful. So I think that piece too is the medium of social media turning us all into miniature press secretaries and pulling us away from our calling, really as priests to the Lord. And that's again, I think out of this conversation, just the time we've been sitting here, this is the big takeaway for me personally is, am I consistently and thoughtfully engaging my use of social media, or am I just letting the drift of the medium kind of suck me up?
I want to give a couple questions for listeners to sort of process. Number one, how many of the things you put on social media are simply self-expression versus intentionally engaged and thoughtful? Meaning if you just look at what you put out there, is there reflective intentionality in what you're posting? Are you thinking through, does this glorify God? Do people need this? Is this helpful? Or is it just sort of, I'm in the flow of just, gosh, here's where I went today. Here's what I did today. So that's one question. How much of your social media interaction is just self-expression? Secondly, I think this is a provocative question to ask in light of what you just said, Chris. How many of your relationships are mediated versus unmediated? If you compare the people you interact with through social media with the number of relationships and the significance of relationships that you have that are personal face to face, is something out of balance there? Because my guess is for many people, the number of sort of mediated relationships I have and sort of feel pressure and worry about is perhaps greater than, and I'm investing more time and energy in that than the unmediated relationships in my life, whether that's with spouse, kids, friends, gospel community, people in my church. So those are two questions I think that can just start me reflecting on what does it mean to use and engage social media in a way that glorifies God.
That's good. And as you're asking that, I'm also thinking, what are the likes and comments doing to my soul? Like, what are the dislikes or the lack of activity? How are those things shaping me as well?
Right? Excellent question.
And am I looking for those in a way to receive compliment and to receive accolades? And
here's a final question. What happens when you go without social media? Do you take a day or a week at a time and just fast from it? If not, that's the first thing is if the answer to that is I don't ever stop engaging social media, I would say warning light. Like, mm-hmm. warning light, your life is probably way more tied to that than you think. What happens when you unplug? I think part of the part of how we assess and evaluate is our relationship with social media glorifying to the Lord is just the question, can I go without it and I don't miss it? If I set the phone down or move away from the computer for a day or a week, am I okay? Do I enjoy it? Is it fruitful? Or do I feel like, gosh, I don't know what's going on in the world? Do I feel anxiety or do I feel sort of that that pull? If the answer to that is yes, I feel that anxiety and that pull, that might indicate there's some things out of whack in my soul that I need to deal with.
I think it's just good to always be thinking through the lens of this. Social media should always be enhancing my real relationships. It shouldn't be replacing them, right?
That's real good.
I don't know about you guys, but pastorally, I have a love-hate relationship with social media. In one way, I wish I could just walk away from all of it, but it's here to stay. And I think it actually can help leadership because it helps us understand what things are actually important to people because they're posting about those things and expressing themselves through them. So there is one thing there that's actually helpful pastorally where I feel like to ignore it would be to not understand who I'm shepherding. You know, I'm curious from you guys and Mike, what are your thoughts on just like wearing the pastoral hat here for a moment? How do you reflect on it?
As a pastor, I think I'm just concerned in general about the level of energy people expend on social media. So I generally just want to say, I want to be a counterculture to that. But I agree with you. It's helpful to see what people are getting, what they're investing in, what conversations are important to them. It helps me know some of what they're doing with their lives so I can pray meaningfully for them. So sometimes I appreciate those aspects of it. Also appreciate how it does keep me connected to some networks of people that I otherwise wouldn't just engage with very much. And so I feel like I can sort of have a broader life of prayer. But I agree with you that the unique thing for me is that social media came late in my life. So I already had established personal mm-hmm. relationships and then, you know, I'm 42 years old. So most of my relationships existed before social media. I'm more concerned for my kids who sort of like are growing up in a world where they don't know a relationship apart from
right.
texting or media. And that's just a different world. And I'm not quite even sure how to help them navigate that and make sure that they are honoring the image of God in people and not just the image of Facebook in people.
Yeah, I think the two biggest concerns that I have are one is related to sort of, I think on social media, our filters come down and we get a little more brave, quote unquote, brave with certain things. And so just seeing the way that people can interact with others, especially with positions that we disagree with mm-hmm. and just see that a lack of charity kind of goes out the mm-hmm. window. And so just even the kind of going back to the thoughtful engagement is just as a place as a sounding board where I can rage and I can vent all my frustration and all my anger.
Yeah.
And the other one too is, are we all about creating a brand, like a personal brand? And I think there are numerous ways. And I think even scripture gives us a model and permission, a green light to use our lives to encourage others, to share our lives, both the good and the struggle as a way to encourage others, as a way to speak truth and to help others thrive and flourish in their walk with the Lord. But there's a difference between that and creating brands. Mm-hmm. And so much of my concern is when I see people caught up in social media It's, I have a brand that I'm trying to create. Even if they're not trying to monetize it, or, you know, they have like only 100 followers, there's still this sense of like, I want to be known as this thing on social media. And so it really becomes about propping up a self and an image, and less about using social media as an extension of being a disciple.
If you have additional thoughts, reflections, questions, things we can chop up in future podcasts, would you send them
tweet
to us on social media?
Tweet us.
Or just grab one of us at church and say, hey, you guys should talk about this. But yeah, really, I really do think there might be more layers to this that would be helpful. And I'm curious to know from listeners, what would be helpful things for us to tease out as pastors and leaders that would be useful to you as you think about your engagement in social media?
The goal of the Wednesday Conversation is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And if you like this podcast, if you suggest this podcast to other friends, we invite you to tell iTunes about it. Go to iTunes, leave a review, tell us how much you like it. We will appreciate that very much.
We have a brand we're trying to create.
Real friends.
So we hope that you join us next Wednesday for another Wednesday Conversation.